What's up, lemon heads? Welcome back to another episode of From the Yellow Chair. I'm Emily, and this week I'm without my co-host Crystal. It is in the peak of travel season and she is off doing some shows, but I have another one of my favorites here in the lemonade stand. And so we've got Yanessa, our lead graphic designer here at Lemon Seed. And so I can't wait to dive in and talk with her a little bit about what she sees overall as branding and from a designer perspective with a lot of contractors and overall in the home service industry. So I can't wait to dive into that, talk about some of my favorite topics here and with one of my favorites, Yanessa. So without further ado, let's sip some lemonade. All right. So welcome, Yanessa.
Hello.
Hi. She's like, I've never been on a podcast before terrifying. And I'm terrified. Yes. And I was like, you'll be fine. Just get in here and do it. So this is out of her natural element, but she
used
has
to
a
being behind the screen.
Yes. Yeah, she's very much behind the scenes. She's very soft spoken and very sweet, but she is jam packed full of tons of ideas. So creative and is such a team builder on our team to our members, our employees and things like that. So Yanessa, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like kind of what's your background? And how'd you get here at Lemon Seed?
So the first thing that I always think of, I think the way that I got into design is pretty interesting and strange.
I don't know if I know this story.
I'm not sure if you do.
Okay.
I may have told you like all the way at the beginning, but it's been a while. So my mother is actually a photographer and photo editor, videographer, all that kind of stuff. I grew up in Miami, Florida. She worked for a big hospital over there, Baptist Health, and she would actually go in, do a lot of the recording for surgeries, as well as she would do a lot of, they had these historical photos, because it was a really, really old hospital. So people would bring in these really old photos, and she would restore them using Photoshop and that kind of thing. She still complains now about how much easier it is now and how
than
AI,
back in the day.
Yeah. She's like, I had to actually color. Like, sometimes I had to, like, print it out and, like, paint individual dots, and it was a whole
thing. Mercy.
So, you know, you'd have kids out for summer and things like that. And she's like, okay, what do I do with this child? She would bring me in to work with her. They had a big old, you know, open office where everyone did their thing. And if she had to go film a surgery, she would be like, all right, they would have these big, cool, I mean, back then they were like the state-of-the-art Macs, like the big MacBooks.
Oh, with like the colored backgrounds and stuff? Like the colored backs?
No, I think they were just silver. Actually, I'm not quite sure. I think
oh,
they were white.
Oh, is that pre even that?
Yeah, I think they
oh,
were
okay,
white.
Okay, all right.
But they were like, to me, it was like, wow, this is the crispest, clearest image I've ever seen in my life. And at home, we had a little PC. I would draw on like MS Paint and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, so. Microsoft Paint, kicking it real fancy here.
Very, very fancy, old school. But so she would bring me in with her to work. She would sit me in front of, and she had all obviously the whole Adobe products because she needed them to do her photo and video editing. And so she was like, okay, I need to go film some crazy surgery. Here's Illustrator. It's like Paint. Have fun. And then, you know, the other people in the office would just kind of watch me, give me snacks and stuff while she was gone. And so I just kind of learned Illustrator that way, just kind of poking around with it. She was like, you make really basic shapes and you can just build whatever you want.
I didn't know that about you, but that's actually kind of similar to how I learned it and
oh,
stuff
really?
Too. Yeah, kind of a little bit of self-taught. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your background. Your mom kind of helped pique that interest for you and stuff. And then now tell us how you kind of got here to Lemon Seed and what you currently are doing here now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always known that I wanted to do graphic design. I was not one of those kids that was wishy-washy about what I wanted to do. So
me too.
I was like, I mean, when I, that I was talking about, I was like 8. And I was like, okay, yep, this is it. I love Illustrator. I just want to work in this all day long, every day. So I did the classes in middle school, did the classes in high school, went to Sam Houston, to do their program. They're the only ones I could find that had a dedicated graphic design program, in my area. And I loved that. Did that. And then, right afterwards was actually working as a designer in a nonprofit. Decided that wasn't really for me. From then I moved on to an agency. It was real estate based. And I just felt like my creativity was kind of stunted there. Things just kind of looked very similar. It was a lot of just like provided images. I really wanted to work more in actual Illustrator. And then I think you guys actually reached out to me and I looked into your website, thought the branding and everything was really cool, very fresh and spunky and fun. And started here and moved up into the leadership position, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're so glad you're here. So, you know, you talked about working in the real estate agency a lot, or in that agency for real estate agents, and so now you're at the super exciting world of home service industry contractors. You know, and I say that kind of jokingly because on the outside, it could appear as like a very boring industry or vertical, or like, how can you be super creative with condensers? And it is a real challenge, I would say. And but I also see it as tremendous opportunity, especially for us as graphic designers and branding experts. There's tons of opportunity. So what do you see now in a lot of contractors' branding, or lack thereof? I should probably start this off with
big white van with a snowflake and a flame on it. And that's about it.
What? A sunshine and a snowflake? Mm-hmm. And let me guess the colors. Red and blue?
Red and blue.
Oh, for hot and cold? Oh, my gosh.
If we're lucky, maybe an orange.
Oh, that is like pushing it. Okay. But that's a common trend that we see a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Or some type of little swoosh for like a little airwave, like a little whoosh.
Yeah, yeah. Or the plumbing ones always get me. My mom still makes fun of me. We were on a road trip once and we saw a random plumbing van. And apparently I was on my soapbox about it because I was like, do they have to keep hitting me over the head with the fact that they are plumbing in Texas? It had like Texas shape with a Texas flag and a plumbing thing coming out of it. And it's plumbing real big. We do plumbing. And I was like, yes. Yes, I get it.
Got it. But also, like, Texas is not, like, a unique brand to you yourself only, sir. Like,
yeah, it was, like, Texas plumbers.
The state of Texas owns that, not you.
Yeah, I just remembered, like, my, like, teachers from college being like, okay, you don't need to, like, hit people over the head with it. They're not stupid. Like, you want to make them think a little bit because then you're memorable.
Right. You don't have to be so literal. Mm-hmm. So I see that as a contractor's like biggest phobia, like, oh my gosh, people aren't going to know what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it's a common fear. And then, like, so they have to be so literal. So we're going to be red and blue, and we're going to have a sunshine and a snowflake for hot and cold, and or do a little swoosh and stuff. So why do you think contractors are afraid to do something different? Like, why do you think that's the common trend that you see amongst all of them, kind of having the same boring look?
Yeah, I think you kind of already touched on it, that like they're worried that people won't know what they do, especially, you know, they're usually that they're really good at their aspect of what they do, at their AC, at their plumbing, at, you know, that kind of stuff. And trying to communicate that to other people can kind of be like you're speaking another language. Mm. And so they really want to simplify it down and make sure that people know what in the world that they do in the simplest way that they can. I feel like it goes either one of two directions. Either it has to be super, super simple, snowflake and sunshine. Or on the other end, people, we've had contractors be like, well, that's not the exact kind of wrench that we use.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, no, I understand. you're just trying to show them that you know, repair something. Kind of simplify it down a little bit.
Sure. Well, and I think also probably is creativity probably just doesn't come naturally to contractors, which is totally fine. Like, they are very good at like working with their hands and fixing things and being very numbers driven and processes and things like that. And so like creativity is just not their top priority. And so therefore they're like, I don't need this fancy logo. I don't need this fancy truck wrap. I just need to show up and do the work that's what I know how to do and what the people call me for. Mm-hmm. And while there is some truth to that, however, you're not marketing to yourself. It's not all about what you think, sir, or what you think appeals to everyone else. Like, we have to appeal to other people. And to me, that's what the huge challenge to graphic design is versus being an artist, just quite frankly. So, like, artists just do whatever the heck they want to do. Like,
you're getting a lot my of angry
art.
Artists.
It speaks to me, but I do think it's different. So, like,
it is.
Design is how do you appeal to other people to make them take action on something? Yeah. And so that's what branding is about. So, like, how can I be memorable to make me stand out and appeal to a homeowner who's probably a woman, probably middle-aged, you know? So think of some other things that it's not you, the contractor. And so sometimes you have to kind of get out of your own way to be able to embrace and accept some of these things. And so a lot of times I just think it just hasn't been a priority. And they've probably just never thought about it that way, to be frank.
And people don't really think about, we've been talking about this a lot as I've been in office, but like the different ways that people communicate the different specialties that they have. To them, it's like, yes, this is very obvious. This is the top of the line thing. But to the everyday person, HVAC doesn't even mean anything necessarily.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and like they can get so into the weeds mm-hmm. about all the different specifications and features of this midline system versus the top tier system and things. And it's like,
it's intimidating.
Okay, I get it, but like you got to talk like on
get on our level.
homeowner level here a little bit and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when you can come across as almost, you can become unapproachable if you're overwhelming this with too much information or too stark into the mechanical mm-hmm. and things like that. Like, hey, I'm still a mom and a wife who's just trying to take care of my home, and I'm looking for comfort, not all the exact specifications all the time, you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is what we try to kind of veer into when we're working on like things like a rebrand or adding a mask on. It might seem a little silly at first, but it is really adding a level of friendliness and like approachability instead of kind of putting them off with all these big crazy high-tech cool things. And it's not that those technicians don't know what they're talking about, that there's not a lot of amazing work back there. It's just not easiest for people to digest and understand.
Sure. So okay, you kind of jumped.
You
didn't jump the gun at all. Like we're tipping our toe into the rebrands and stuff. Okay. So that is one thing that Lemoncy loves to get a hold of is like mm-hmm. when we can do a rebrand for a customer, it's like, let's go. Because there's so much opportunity and story that we can tell about your company and about the owner and about the services that you provide and like why you're different than your competition. And so to me, the opportunity that's there is kind of like what most excites mm-hmm. me about a rebrand. But what about you? Tell me when I say, Yanessa, so we've got a rebrand coming down the pipeline, like what goes through your mind?
Yeah. A lot of times it's like I feel hungry for information right off the bat. Mm. I'm like, all right, like what are you into? Like what can we pull and be different and do something really crazy with, especially if they're willing and open to do something a little different. And seemingly random, because that means it's going to be disruptive. It's going to be interesting. It's going to pop.
Well, and like, I love that you said the first thing you're like, is I want to know more about them.
Yeah.
And it's like, because you want to create a brand that is authentic to them. So not just like, hey, I've got my like 12 ideas of what would make awesome brands and just like, okay, you're up next. So like you're getting this number one. And then I got mm-hmm. this other step. Like, no, we develop these from scratch. That is, mm-hmm. based off some element of story for that specific contractor. It's not just this vault of amazing designs that we have sitting back there somewhere. So I love that because we want to build authentic and genuine brands that are unique to that company.
Yeah, and I think that first discovery call that we do where we're just kind of talking about them, I'm kind of like on pins and needles. Like I'm on the edge of my seat just waiting to see what they say that uh-huh. sparks something. And then it's like I can immediately picture it in my head.
Oh,
and then
yes.
I just want to start making it right then.
I'm very bad about that. Like when I can get that initial idea, it's like I can't sleep like until I get it out on the computer and just start hashing this out. But when we're doing a discovery call, that is one thing that I kind of like prompt the contractor with is like, hey, so I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions here and I want you to elaborate as much as possible. Like nothing here is too much information. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like give us all the nitty gritty details, because a lot of times it might seem that like there's some nugget of information and you're just like, you're not withholding it, but you're like, I don't know why that's important or relevant to these questions. But I'm like, go ahead and share that with us, because a lot of times it could be like that one small little nugget. It's like, that's it. That's what we can build this brand upon.
Which can be a little bit hard with contractors and technicians and stuff sometimes, because they're like, yep, I'm here. I need a
rebrand. Well, yeah. Like, hey, tell us about your story. Like, how'd you get started? We started in 1986. Okay, you know, like you have to like really like extract it out of them and stuff, but you know, that is part of our job is like developing what that story is and stuff, and sometimes it's embellishing a story a little bit possibly, like maybe there's a tiny little bit of a nugget, but like we can add on to it, but guess what, like that's the best part about storytelling. Like that's why there's a fiction and a nonfiction section in the library and stuff, but either way it's creating a story that's memorable, disruptive, and can ultimately have a great impact on your business, okay? Mm-hmm. So more for than just the sake of we're trying to make you look better and just look prettier, it'll really transform a business, right?
I think especially if you can call back to like some sort of tradition or history. I really love that. Like, oh, okay, the first person, like we do with Sailor Mac. Like, you know, it started with him being a sailor, and that is such a cool thing for people to think about. And it also kind of establishes like this, like you respect them a little bit more. You feel mm-hmm. like they really got your back. Like they've been in the business for a long time mm-hmm. and they're also, it makes them more personable. Like they're a person just like you, like they started just where you could be at.
Sure. So, Yanessa, I think one thing that you're really clever and smart about is, one, you really grasp branding and understand it in its completeness. But you're also really big in, like, pushing our design team, but then also, like, our account managers and stuff and social media is, like, finding brandable words or, like, mm-hmm. kind of brandable slices and things like that. Yeah. So elaborate on that a little bit. Tell our listeners kind of what you mean by that.
Yeah, so that's kind of part of why I love so much when we're allowed to do something a little bit kind of out of left field with the brand. Because we can start bringing in all these words and all these little tidbits that are outside of the world of HVAC.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it kind of is like forcing a connection between these two things. And it, when it comes to the logo, I call those like visual puns, like, oh, I kind of see what you did there. but when it comes to words, it's like, oh, okay, we can kind of see, like, by now Air Solutions is out and about.
Yeah.
Bringing things in, like, okay, they have this little Captain Dilly. He's in a little airplane, bringing in your comfort. So we have comfort for takeoff, and we're flying in, and we are, you know, touching down for your comfort and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And just being able to really expand that in a way and make it feel more like an actual conversation instead of just like, well, here's our tagline. This is the one we always
say. Let's back up. Let's elaborate on that air. So Yanessa is referring to Air Solutions out of Greeley, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And we just completed a rebrand for them, and it just kind of launched last week, like went public. So it's been in the works with us for a while. Like, we've seen it and we've been chomping at the bit to release it. Yeah. But okay, so why do an airplane? You know, like, why change up these colors that he had and things like that? And, you know, how did we kind of develop that story? Because he didn't have a bad logo, to be honest. He was definitely not the worst logo that we had beforehand.
No,
we've
seen worse.
Yeah, we've seen much worse. So, but he was really looking for something that would be very different. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say it again, disruptive. And so how did we come about to that airplane concept? Do you remember?
Yeah. So that was kind of part of our discovery call. And I believe it was his account manager who had brought it up to you maybe. And then we kind of brought it up on the call because it wasn't even something that he had thought to mention. And we were like, hey, Dusty, you know, we hear you fly airplanes. And, you know, he kind of brightens up. And that's how you always know it's a good piece of information.
Sure,
they kind of brighten up and they get a little bit more animated about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, this is just kind of my hobby. Like, I learned how to do this. You know, he was he's a veteran. He's very into, like, the military, a very religious man, a very
patriotic.
Patriotic. Yeah. That was the word I was thinking of. And so he kind of wanted to bring that little element together. And we thought, you know, he wasn't in the Air Force, mm-hmm. but we can kind of make that connection of, okay, there's that military aspect in addition to this hobby that you're really into. And, you know, we automatically thought of the little blades on the front of the plane as like bringing in the cool air.
Sure.
And thought that like that would immediately be
kind of like illustrate it like in like fan blades almost mm-hmm. of like what would be on an actual condenser unit. And so kind of marrying like his passion and something that he worked really hard on of getting his pilot's license, and then like how he can apply that same aspect to working really hard to bring that comfort into mm-hmm. a home. And then, you know, it's a very friendly little logo. I encourage you to go look it up now.
He's adorable.
He's so cute. But we gave it that kind of vintage nostalgia, that,
like,
red, white, and blue
colors.
Yes, because that was something that's very important to him as a veteran and things like that. But then we ended up naming the little Captain Dilly.
Yes, that's
the little
pilot.
Yes, and what that told was is like, that's not Dusty. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. his name's Dilly, but it provides an opportunity for, hey, who's Captain Dilly? Mm-hmm. And so he then gets to talk about it. I was like, well, this was one of my mentors who was very influential to me, like, as I was starting out and really encouraged me along the way, blah, blah, blah. And it all of a sudden, like, humanizes that air conditioning company. Like, these are real people that have mm-hmm. real stories and experiences kind of like I do. And it provides a way for me to connect with them.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really big part of it. And it also kind of, like, takes away a little bit of the fear of, like, okay, these people are coming into my house. But when you... I mean, part of the issue with the, like, big white vans that just have a kind of a little logo plastered on them. To me, I always feel a little sketchy about that.
Mm-hmm. But kidnapper when I see, vans? Yeah.
But when I see a van coming with this cute little illustrated mascot and they have a whole sure. brand story, and it's like, okay, they really have it together and I can really trust
yes.
them.
Yeah.
And two, like, this is someone I kind of feel a little bit more safe about. Like, mm-hmm. you know, as a mm-hmm. woman that owns a home and might have some contractor coming in, like, that just makes me feel a little bit more comfortable too. Especially like when you can talk to Dusty about it. Again, he kind of brightens up, he gets a little excited about it, and it's like, oh, you know, like, I don't know, just nice little personal touch.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and so we illustrated this plane with Captain Dilly. He's got these cool colors, and then like incorporated their new tagline, comfort cleared for takeoff and stuff. And so using all of that aviation and flying type terminology has really opened a lot of opportunities for us in their marketing offers, in their direct mail pieces, in their social media, things like that. And mm-hmm. so that's something that you're pretty passionate about, of like pushing our team to. And so yeah. can you give some other examples of ways that we've made these brandable words or phrases, if you will? Yeah.
So he's just kind of top of mind for me. I know we recently also did kind of a social media push for the reviews. So he's been established for a really long time. Like, he's known in the area. And we wanted to kind of expand on that. And so we came up with like a fun little tag of like, well, we've earned our wings, and yeah, here's the review yeah. to prove it. And here's all these great things that people in the community say about us. And that's how you know that you can trust us. Like, yeah. we have this badge of honor.
Well, and I know you do a lot of work for one of our clients, Colonial. Mm-hmm. And so you've made kind of helped develop all these, I want to say, historical Americana colonial yeah. type things. And so like we do like revolutionary tune-ups yeah. and you know, we sent out a Father's Day email not too long ago, and it was like revolutionary dad jokes, mm-hmm. and all the jokes had like little puns that kind of related to that Americana historicalness.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking to them, they were like, well, you know, that he's a Minuteman, and that's important to us. And mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily something that we had known about, but then we can look a little bit deeper into it and be like, you know, these were the people on the front line. So yeah. these are the people that are going to be battling for your comfort. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to be there when the going gets tough.
Yeah.
And so that kind of thing, also bringing that idea. I mean, when I hear the word Minuteman, I think like they're there in a minute.
Yeah, the speed, speed and the responsiveness, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, the front lines of defense. We're on the front lines for your home and for mm-hmm. your comfort and things like that. Yeah, and so finding out a little bit more about that, because we didn't do their rebrand. Mm-hmm. It was one that came to us already very well done and mm-hmm. things like that. But
and the nugget that we had to start with was revolutionary,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Revolutionary comfort.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to keep using that same word again. And again, revolutionary, yes, but how else can we kind of expand that? And it's like, okay, I think for Father's Day, it was like, you don't have to be our Minuteman to be our hero.
That's right, yeah. And I think, like, some of the dad jokes were like, what joke, like, really cracks you up and is, like, the one about the Liberty Bell yeah. or something like that, you yeah. know? So, but that's we could have told any dad joke, mm-hmm. okay? But when we can put that tiny little brand spin on it, it's all of a sudden way more brandable, and it's a brand that is so much more than just the logo.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, I've loved this conversation, hearing your philosophy, what gets you excited, and how to get contractors to think a little bit differently and then expand it beyond just the logo and stuff. So, what would be some advice that you have to contractors or anyone who's listening right now?
Not to be scared to go a little wild with it, mm, is what I would think.
Don't be scared, yeah.
don't be too scared about, like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, this is so random, this is so out of mm-hmm. left field. Because like we talked about, it's all about, really catching people's eyes and being different, and not having, you know, the same character that everybody else has, and having something that's a little bit more authentic to you, authentic to your brand, authentic to your history. That means a lot to people, and it also kind of makes people think like, hey, what's going on over there? And then, you know, now they're looking at your brand, now they're reading into it.
Sure, you've created some buzz and some yeah. interest and stuff, you mm-hmm. know. You definitely have to be bold. Like, if you ever want to do anything that's, you know, worth growing or being long lasting, a legacy and stuff, you're going to have to be bold in some areas. And a brand yeah. is a great way to do that. And, you know, there's a contractor that I'm thinking of specifically, and he was very, he trusted the process, but he was very nervous to actually like make it happen. We were going through his rebrand, and it's been a few years since it's launched. He said, now I can't imagine not having rebranded, like what it's done for my business, how it's made me stand out so much more, the attention that it's drawn, and it's just elevated our internal team culture and like how our team is excited about and stuff. But then also in the community, we've all of a sudden just become noticed and stuff. And so he's like, I know a lot of contractors are afraid to, you know, invest in good branding and invest in making some change and things like that. But he's like, I couldn't imagine now. I can't afford to not have done it at this point.
It's a big investment, and we don't take it lightly.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not just, you know, we're just going to slap on a crab on there for funsies. I don't know why that's the first thing I thought of, but
interesting. Yes.
Well, we haven't done yet. I don't know, but we're not just going to slap something on there, you know, just for fun's sake. It is going to be integrated. It's going to be, you know, particular to, you're unique to your brand.
And maybe your area or, where you live, the special services that you provide. And then there's also a lot of things you can do off the alliteration. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the...
Oh, I do love that part.
a lot of times that can spark the reason, because it just rolls off the tongue very well and stuff. So, you know, maybe like the Montana moose, you know, or the Pacific polar bear or something like that, you know, putting kind of that alliteration can kind of also help spark that that story.
I do really like coming up with the kind of acronyms that are kind of also used internally or to, you know, speak about the values. I can't think of one right off the top of my head. The one that I can think of is one that we didn't use, but it was like, you know, enjoy the ride, and it had those all spelled out.
Sure. Yeah, so she's talking about a contractor who loves being a motorcycle biker, if you will. And so there was a concept that we presented to him of a little technician on a motorcycle, and like the wheels on the motorcycle looked like fan blades and stuff. It's a really cool concept, but she kind of came up with an acronym for RIDE, like enjoy the ride. And then the R stood for something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
respect, integrity,
some of those good words.
Some of those good words. But it just kind of pushes it a little bit further. Well, no, and you can use it in your internally too.
Yeah, Rachel helps. Our podcast editor, she's working on some culture books for Lemon Seed right now, and so, you know, our core values, like at Lemon Seed, we will be zesty. And so like we have an acronym for ZESTY, zealous for creativity, experts in strategy, servant-minded advocates, thorough and timely, and yielding results. So
good
at Lemon Seed,
with that Z, that would have thrown me.
So at Lemon Seed, we will be zesty. And so finding those brandable words and acronyms, if you will, or alliterations, things like that, are nuggets that your team can hold on to, but then also become advocates for your company in numerous ways also.
To me, it kind of makes me think of all those crazy like phone number commercials that, like, I still remember these. Why do I know the JG Wentworth, like,
call JG,
why do
Wentworth?
I know that
877 cash now.
It was just catchy. It was catchy, it was different, it was weird, and just made me stop and look at it instead of just tuning out to, okay, it's a commercial.
It
caught my attention every time, and their commercials got progressively weirder, and it just kept my attention. So now I always know it.
So final words here, advice to contractors is, don't be afraid and go bold and kind of trust the professionals who have your best interest in mind, I would say.
Yeah. I think that's pretty, that sums it up pretty good.
Awesome. Well, Yanessa, thanks for coming down here to the lemonade stand, chatting with me, getting to chat about all the fun things. And hopefully some contractors were able to take away some key nuggets little here for you guys. And so if you enjoyed listening to this episode, we would love if you would leave us a review. Follow us on all the social media channels. We are everywhere. And this podcast is powered by Lemon Seed Marketing, your full service agency. We're your strategy and branding experts. So if you'd love to learn more, go to lemonseedmarketing.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.